Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my God! Oh my God! What happened?
Start it again.
Yeah, shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Good morning.
I'm so pumped! Oh my God!
It's been a while. Very good morning to you. It's Jay Capp here with you live across the world, streaming via the internet, as if that was a clever or interesting or unique thing. I'm really excited. Jeremy Wine will be making an appearance directly to thank each and every patron of this podcast in a fairly unique thing for the podcast. It's going to be not safe for work. It should be fine up till then, although, you know, mix on in a second. You never know how that's going to go. In fact, you know what the hell? Let's just bring him on now, shall we?
Every day the papers pump out deadly streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda they will propagate. But who can penetrate the ramparts of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Go with the several. Good weekend?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was good.
Great. I feel like I should properly introduce you. You're Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. You write an amazing newsletter which commentates mainly on the media.
Yes, that is accurate.
Thank you. And everyone should subscribe at brokenbottleboy.substack.com. There.
Yes.
That's done the important business. Now, a couple of things to talk about. The first thing I thought we were going to talk about, because I didn't see your thing, because it does. You're right. Your last newsletter said something about if you use Gmail, my newsletter will probably end up in some weird folder somewhere. And invariably it does. It doesn't go into my inbox, however much I try to train it.
It's extremely annoying.
Your newsletter is like an old cat that insists on weeing in the corner when there's a perfectly nice litter tray.
It's Gmail that does the weeing in the wrong place.
Weemail.
The newsletter is not to blame.
sure, whatever. I didn't see this morning's until relatively recently, and it's pretty explosive stuff. I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely mind-boggling stuff. But before that, let's talk about the other one. The Amanda Knox story that people will not stop framing that thing with reference to Amanda Knox, which you talked about.
Yes. So, yeah, I wrote a thing yesterday about not just about Amanda Knox, but about other people who were connected to murder cases, but were innocent of any crime. So Colin Stagg, falsely charged with the murder of Rachel Nickell, Christopher Jeffries, brought in for questioning in the case of the murder of Joanna Yates, again innocent, and of course Amanda Knox, who's been talking on Twitter and wrote an article recently about the fact that she continues to be the name that is featured in stories about that case rather than Rudy Gade, the man who actually murdered Meredith Kircher. So, it's about the notion that the media really never allows anyone to be truly innocent, whatever courts say. So, for instance, Colin Stagg he was acquitted in 1994. He was not involved in the killing of Rachel Nickell in any way. They tried to frame him by using an undercover police officer who a sexy undercover police officer who kept telling him things like,
"Is there any other kind?
You know, I would fancy you more if you had done the Wimbledon killing and stuff like
this."
I mean,
that is astonishing. There's in your newsletter, there's some transcriptions of the interview, which literally says, "Oh, I'd love you forever if only you'd done a murder."
Yeah, she said to him, "If only you'd done the Wimbledon common murder, if only you had killed her, it would be all right." To which he replied, "I'm terribly sorry, but I haven't."
Yeah. I'm frightfully sorry. I would very much like to take you to bed, but I didn't murder anyone.
Yeah,
we've all been in that scenario, I think.
Well, the point being, like, lots of people probably remember the name Colin Stagg, but don't remember the name Robert Knapper, the man who was actually still in prison for the killing of Rachel Nickell.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened with Stagg, which is particularly grotesque, is so he in 2008 he was awarded finally £706,000 in compensation from the Met Police for their attempt to frame him and the completely unjustified prosecution. And since
you're not going to tell me he spent that as he saw fit, are you?
Yeah, so he spent that money, as you might expect, on various things, including, you know, having fun, going on holidays, things that he hadn't been able to do when his, you know, life, his young life was wrecked.
Neck of it, spending his money.
Yeah. So then,
an innocent man.
So then 2018, 10 years after that, you get the headline in the Sun, "Stagg blows compo." Blows it, right? Rather than just spends it on things.
Thank God that's not a Last of the Summer Wine headline.
Yeah, I know, thank God. And then this year, because there is a Channel 4 drama coming up, broadcasting later this month, called Deceit, which is about the attempt to frame him, mm-hmm. the honey trap case, that has given the excuse for the Sun, the Daily Mail and others to do things like papping him going to his job at Tesco's. Nice. So the Daily Mail wrote a piece about that, headlined, "Colin Stagg is working at Tesco after blowing £700,000 payout for being wrongly accused by police in notorious Rachel Nickell honey trap murder probe. And the thing about this is it doesn't focus the blame on the police or anything like that. Also, there's no justification for taking pictures of an innocent man going to his job, which he, you know, and they went and talked to his some of his colleagues, and they said, "Oh yeah, no, he's a nice guy. Yeah, sometimes people recognize him." Yeah, sometimes people recognize him because newspapers like the Sun and the Daily Mail insist on still putting his picture in the paper. Yeah. You wouldn't recognize Robert Knapper were he to be released, because he isn't constantly pictured in the papers.
I think it's disgraceful. I've heard he earns a whopping £8 an hour.
Yeah, and it's also this thing of, like, let's mock someone for having an ordinary job, essentially, and saying, look at this. Wouldn't you, Daily Mail reader, if you had luckily won this £700,000 nearly by being dragged through the courts for a crime that you didn't commit, wouldn't you have spent it better? But then you also get stuff like, another example I use is, so Reg Travis, who was Amy Winehouse's last boyfriend, because there's a new documentary, that new documentary came out about Amy Winehouse, the Daily Mail went and packed him just walking with his wife and child. It helped for them that his wife also featured in one of his films with Meghan Markle. So that was another opportunity for the Mail to, you know, spuriously make connections. A man in Knox has written a very good piece called "Who Owns My Name," which is about the fact that Matt Damon is in a new film called Stillwater, and it is loosely inspired on the Amanda Knox saga. And as she rightly says, it's not the Amanda Knox saga, it's the murder of Meredith Kircher someone who was not Amanda Knox. The best example she shows is the New York Post headline when Rudy Gade was freed on community service, the killer of Meredith Kircher. The headline they put on that was, "Man who killed Amanda Knox's roommate freed on community service." Yeah. So the woman killed doesn't get the
not interesting, mate.
The honor of her honor and death of her name, and the killer is not featured in the headline. Yeah, but Amanda Knox, a woman.
Yeah, but Mick, sexy sex games.
This is the other thing that doesn't come up enough is in September 2015, after 8 years of trials and 4 years in jail, Amanda Knox, the Italian Supreme Court wrote an extensive report that talked about glaring errors, investigative amnesia and guilty omissions on part of the Italian police. It called it a sensational failure and ruled that not only were there errors in the court cases that meant that Knox should be found innocent, but that there was absolutely no evidence of her being involved in the murder in any way.
Right.
One thing that's really important to mention, though, is she was found guilty of a crime in Italy that would be called calumny. Would be called defamation because during the time that she was under investigation, she accused falsely a Congolese bar owner, Patrick Lumumba, who was. Put in jail for a short period, and she was sentenced to 3 years for that, but that was deemed to be served during her time in prison. So she's not like innocent of any failings, but the thing that's worth remembering there is she was a 20-year-old woman in a foreign country, desperately fearful, and in a very complicated situation. Yeah. So while that happened, there are other, you know,
and
mitigations there,
and bit of a minx. It occurs to me that, you know, we sort of talk about the kind of tabloidy press, and particularly, you know, those prurions. And, you know, perhaps worst of all, I think the Daily Mail, who have this great pretense of being respectable. You know, there are other ones who are just unabashedly what they are. But it's that kind of middle England who, well, I'm nice. I am nice. Who read the Daily Mail. And it's kind of quite pernicious in terms of what it does. And we sort of talked about the kind of agenda that they have. But I think that perhaps as much as anything, there was a fantastic South Park episode. In fact, it kind of ran across a few episodes where there were these things called member berries, which was there was this jar and people got addicted to them. And when you opened the jar, it was these little blueberries and people would eat them. And whenever you pick one up, it would say, "Remember Star Wars? Remember Rubik's Cubes? They were so fun." And it was sort of at that time on the internet where just everything was like, I remember when playgrounds were all you needed and you didn't stare at a screen all day. And it was really great.
Remember when the bin men were hard?
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of went on to sort of exploring that as a kind of as a political idea and all the rest of it. And it was really very brilliant. But I do remember that. I feel like a lot of the purpose of the, you know, when a newspaper like the Daily Mail publishes photos of someone like Colin Stack, it is literally so that people can turn the page and go, yeah. It's no more than that. It's, you know, the human collateral, the damage of it. But it's just so that people go, oh, yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, it's literally exactly just that. But you also get stuff like the Sun, when they were writing about him, saying there was a time when he was Britain's most hated man. And you go, yeah, right. But what you're failing to mention in that sentence is, yeah, unjustifiably so.
Yeah.
And on the back of stories written by people like you.
Yeah.
And when you think of someone like Christopher Jeffries, who he was absolutely vilified for stuff like liking the Ballad of Red in Jail, which was described as a poem about a man murdering his wife.
Right.
And the fact that he taught Wilkie Collins when he was a teacher was
unbelievable. They
described the book as a Victorian murder book. Moonstone. They called it a Victorian murder novel that proved he was obsessed with death. So these things they did, right? And in the end, he received damages from the Sun, the Mirror, the Sunday Mirror, the Daily Mail, the Daily Record, the Daily Express, the Daily Star, the Scotsman, the Mirror.
Wow.
You know, huge, like eight papers.
Yeah.
But they never apologized.
Yeah.
They never apologized. They just went, oh, yeah, so unfortunately.
All right.
We called him. And what really struck me in the research for this is most of those papers have memory hold their stories, but a story by the Times headlined The Strange Mr. Jeffries is still online.
Wow.
With no correction on it. And one of the people bylined on that story is the Times' crime editor. Still, now. Right now,
okay,
a highly respected journalist. She's continued to be promoted, but nothing happens to people when they do this. They destroy people's lives, and they say, "Well, that's unfortunate." I mean, you know, if you're going to make omelets, you know, are going to break a few people's lives.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's apparently there's a new study out which says that the more bigoted you are, the more you're prone to dementia. Now, I famously have almost no memory of anything at all, which perhaps speaks volumes about me. And, I was thinking I should do something about it. I was going to do Sudoku, but I'm not doing any of that Japanese muck. I call them dirty number puzzles. So
I wondered where that joke
was going. It had to go somewhere, didn't it? Yeah, finally it did.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, look, the thing that landed in my inbox from you this morning, and everyone should subscribe, is brokenbottleboy.substack.com. Come on now, it's free. I mean, there's a paid version and you will end up on it, but try the free one first. It's this extraordinary story that the Daily Mail have started fabricating their own front pages of yore.
Yeah, this is it. So the widest thing this morning is in the Telegraph today, there's a comment piece by a woman who says, oh, Wikipedia is awful. I rely on my reference books, as if reference books aren't in themselves, subject to all kinds of biases, just biases we can't see. But anyway, in that, there was the fact that I look back because the Daily Mail has been banned as a source on Wikipedia since 2017, considered an unreliable source. And as part of that, I looked into some coverage of that. And back in 2015, the Daily Mail published an article called Read History as It Happened, Extraordinary Daily Mail Pages from the Day Adolf Hitler Died 70 Years Ago This Week. And the featured image in the 2015 story purported to be a photo of that front page, which just had the headline Hitler Dead. But actually, the actual front page from 1945 used a completely different slightly different headline, Hitler Dead, German Radio Tells the World, and included entirely different content. So as Hugh Lemmy, the British writer, pointed out at the time, the Daily Mail was forging its own archival front pages, creating a mock-up when the real archival front page is around and accessible, easy to find. Yeah, and anyway, there were a few other things such as, 2014. Examples that the Wikipedians gave for why the Daily Mail was inaccurate included publishing the wrong verdict in the Amanda Knox case briefly, and a ginned-up tale from 2014 about residents of Beijing forced to watch the sunrise on big screens because the sun was hidden by smog. Other outlets were fooled by this too, but Time quickly published a correction admitting that the sunrise image was actually an ad. But 7 years later, you can still find the Daily Mail story online and uncorrected.
Amazing. Go and read that newsletter. It's so worth doing. Mick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. You're doing your paper thing later on Twitch?
Yes, paper thing, 1 p.m. on Twitch. Just follow me on Twitter, at Broken Bottle Boy, and you will hear about it.
There you go. Do that. And do subscribe to the newsletter. Mick, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Barney's read it. He says, I do think this was one of Mick's best articles. Really shocking, especially the way the papers still hound innocent people just for their previous association to a story. Pablo says, it's insane when there's actually been a conviction of the actual murderer, but they still pursue stories on those falsely accused. Okay, bye. Good morning to everybody watching on YouTube. Nice to have you here. Hello, Steph. Hello, Hannah. Hello, Jem. Barney, hello Martin, hello Pablo. Hello everybody. We haven't had the Reverend on for a while, have we? We're going to have another old friend of the podcast, Jeremy Wine, in a moment. First, though, I'll tell you what. What? Well, I'm about to tell you. I was thinking about a Moragian, funnily enough. I don't know why. And how ubiquitous he is and the sheer front. I saw his profile. He's changed his profile on Twitter. He describes himself as Rethian Roscoe. You flipping what? And I thought, do I just have a problem with his ubiquitousness? Is it just that one person shouldn't have that much of a profile? And I thought, no. Actually, if he were to do a job swap with, say, Nihal Athanayak, I would have no problem with that. I love Nihal. He's thoughtful, he's humble, he's considered, he's earnest, he's funny. I would have no problem with him doing all of Amol's jobs.
From the Today Show to BBC One. And the one show for the plebs. I can do it all, Radio 2.
So can Nihal. He's done everything and he's really good. Why can't we have him everywhere? I'll tell you why. Because he was already in the BBC. And, you know, I don't like to insult the BBC, but they do have a problem, right? Which is that familiarity breeds contempt in the BBC. Nihal was just at the BBC on 5 Live, just doing his job really well. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. He was never going to get a scene for that. You think of Chris Evans, right? Chris Evans, great case in point. Chris Evans, he started out on BBC London, the local radio station for London. He was just doing a weekend show, probably for about £125 a show. And I remember people at the BBC going, God, have you heard the show? This guy's incredible. He's so funny. And I heard some clips. I was like, man, this is incredible. He's super, super fresh and super funny. What an amazing show. But he was on the books at the BBC. The BBC didn't go, oh, we've got some raw talent right there. Let's do some stuff with it. No. They didn't do anything. It's like, yes, it's a pretty good show. And we're pretty pleased with it. And that was it. So Channel 4 were like, we'll have that. We'll pay you £250. Off he went and never looked back. And then, of course, the BBC had to buy him back for £8 million a year. And that's what they do. So my advice to Nihal is just get out, man. For God's sake, get out. And then they'll have to buy you back and it'll cost them a fortune. You'll have a really great time. Very special hello and good morning to Julie, who I've just seen is watching. Julie's a duty listener in the South and had a massive spinal operation this weekend. Julie, it's great to have you here. Glad to see that you actually managed to get some toast in you. That's wonderful news. It's time now for me to do the thing that we do every month, which is to thank the people who support this podcast in a very literal financial way. You can too. It's patreon.com/nottodaypod. PATREON. .com/nottodaypod, where for you can support the podcast for £2 a month. I mean, that's nothing, isn't it? You're not going to miss it. You know, you're going to be like, oh, where's my £2? You're not going to notice that. £5 a month, you get 4 or 5 extra podcasts and some highly exclusive access to Cousin Davey, who's here on Fridays. But once a month, what we like to do is a sort of a roll call of honour when we thank everybody, big and small, who contributes to the podcast and makes it so special. I was thinking, how can we do it today? What's a good way of doing it today? And I was thinking about the news story that the Russian Olympic Committee has done pretty well in the Olympics, and there's been a lot of speculation about are they using steroids? Has there been some doping? you know, it's all but in name. It's the Russia, of course, was banned after Sochi when it was found that they tested positive for a lot of doping and stuff. But they didn't want to punish the next generation of athletes. Remember, that's a 3-syllable word. So they allowed them to come under the name the Russian Olympic Committee. And I thought, and now when people have said, you think they might be some doping, they're winning an awful lot of medals. A spokesperson for the Russian Olympic Committee said, this is whining of losers, and that it was a political campaign. Well, thanking all of the co-competitors. And I have to warn you, this isn't necessarily fully safe for work. This is a bit of a first for the podcast. I don't know if I'll manage to bleep it out before it goes out as a podcast, but here we are live on YouTube. It's youtube.com/nottodaypod if you want to watch this live. Anyway, it's time for us to go over to our spokesman for the Russian Olympic Committee, Jeremy Wine.
Oh! We wish to thank co-competitors in javelin, Chris, Christian, Corin, Tigori, Gemma, Lee, Lindsay, Natasha, Neil, and Alex. You are whiny bitch. Barney, for a glorious noble sport of panda fighting, co-competitors Barney, Charlotte, Claire, Daniel, Darren, Dave, David, oh, David, James, Duncan, Emily, Fiona, Gordon, Julian, Catherine, Madeline, Melissa, Mick, Una, Richard, Rick, Ricky, Robert, and RW, you are whiny bitch. For glorious Olympic sport of crocodile, we thank co-competitors Alice, Bob, Bruce, Kat, Christopher, Claire, Dan Porter, Duncan, Greg, Jim, Joel, John, Kim, Melk, Neil, Nick, Pablo, Pat, Sam, and Steph. You are whiny bitch! For a noble sport of swordfish breed, we thank co-competitors David Brassel, David Poppy, Jane and Owen and Pat Ruby. You are whiny, whiny bitch! Stop your whiny bitch nonsense! And finally, take gold in Olympic sport sexy dog secrets. Julie, Matt, Natasha, you are whiny bitch. Stop being such whiny bitch. Thank you for coming to show. You're all nice people. Get him a wine finish for now. Stop make whiny bitch doggy pudding sexy ass nonsense illegal rave.
God, I forgot what a head rush it is doing, Jeremy Wine. Well, that's it for today. I hope I see you again. I'm very sorry. Take care of yourselves. I'll be back on Wednesday with more stuff. In the meantime, from me, Mick, and Jeremy, goodbye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Jeremy Wine!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Naughty dog.